The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Sport reminds us what history has long revealed, that courage is contagious, that the actions of a single individual can impact those whose faces they will never see, and that a single voice can resound through generations. We honor those who have let their actions and their voices speak, not only for themselves, but for us all, whether by standing tall as an icon of integrity and greatness, by standing up to a school and a system that would deny her right to participate, or by refusing to stand for intolerable abuse on the field of play, or even simply by standing firm in the face of obstacles that would otherwise deter the pursuit of the sport they love. And while these stories are individual, the lessons are universal. We may never follow in their footsteps, but we can follow their example and rise to the challenges that we face with the courage, the conscience, and the power that resides in each of us. The power of one.
The opinions you love, the history you crave, this is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Buddy, ladies, gentlemen, and everybody else, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, your blue collar scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am always joined by
brothers and sisters. It is the return of your ace boom coon, the Black Powers.
Black Powers, happy, 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 happy Black History Month. We are Dave.
Happy Black History, happy Black Wrestling History Month.
That's right. We are live.
On the rant.
We are, that's right, live, Rant EM Radio. Rant,
we are live.
Rant Entertainment Media. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. And that's pretty much it, man.
So let's wrap up the show.
That's it, guys. Good night. Thanks for playing.
Peace.
All joking aside, happy Black History Month, everybody. It is day 4 of Black History Month.
Can't believe we're 4 days into Black History Month.
Yes, chuck full of goodness. Last year, Dave and I had a blast. We've decided to keep it an annual thing. And let's face it, we have enough material to go around.
You know, we reminded people that there are black wrestlers in wrestling.
Not only black wrestlers, but awesome black wrestlers.
Yes.
Soul Brother number one.
Not just your Mavens and your Darren Youngs. There's more to wrestling than just those guys.
Speaking of Maven, I want to give a shout out to our boy Otto. I saw Otto over the weekend at the PWS show. Otto gave me a huge bag of old WWF and WWE figures for Mikey. And one of the wrestlers was Maven.
Didn't he win Tough Enough?
I think so. And didn't he eliminate Undertaker from a Battle Royal or something, or a Royal Rumble or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And then that was it.
I also want to give a shout out to our boy Choppy, who I got to meet over the weekend as well at PWS.
Oh, wow. Everybody was at the show.
Everybody was there. Shout out to Mike, Adam, and Joe from the Midnight Jury. They were there as well. The sign girls made us a sign. Thank you very much for that, Kathy and Christine. I want to give a shout out to the Shining Wizards, all four wizards in attendance. Standing room only was a great show. I did not stay for the main event. But the rest of the card kicked ass. I was just too exhausted.
What was the main event?
Main event was Brian Myers and Kevin Matthews in a barbed wire match, but it was just like it was after 11 at that point, and I was just dragging ass. I just wanted to get home.
A barbed wire match.
Yeah, apparently it stole the show. I missed it. I left. But it was really good. The card, standing room only, like I said again, they're coming correct. I had a great time over the weekend. I want to thank those guys and thank and Choppy even gave me a LJN Roddy Piper figure for the man cave.
Yes, I saw the photo for that.
Awesome sauce. I mean, so thank you so much, man. Thank you so very much. That was fucking awesome of you. All right, we got some
And you know what? I want to give a shout out to my friend Louie from the Bonesaw movement. The Boosaw movement. About to do some commentary for JCW, Jersey Championship Wrestling, the same night.
Did he really?
Yes.
So shout out to Jamie, shout out to JCW. That's awesome, man. That's pretty awesome. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Do I see Kid Human in the chat room?
I think you do. He made his return.
Oh, about time.
Scott!
Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
Yeah, where the fuck is the pastor?
Okay. Pastor sent me a message around 7 p.m. He double booked himself. Tonight is his wife's birthday. So, Miss Lady Siddell, have a great birthday. Pastor apologizes. He said, tell Mega Powers I'm sorry. I will give my testimonial next week before the Bobo Brazil episode.
Okay.
So, Pastor, Mrs. Siddell, have a blessed birthday. And, you know, that's pretty much it. I hope you guys enjoy your night.
Wait, he's not a priest or anything, right?
Of course he is. He's a pastor.
He's married for real, right?
For real, for real. His wife's a pastor as well.
So he can bone his wife, right? It's okay.
He has children. Yeah, he bones her all the time.
Okay, all right. You know, well, give her some good loving.
Yeah, good loving.
Not from the Mega Powers, but from yourself.
That's right.
You know, the Mega Powers does not want to break up a happy marriage.
Right. Our boy Matt's in the chat room.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Yeah. Java's in there. Mr. X is in there.
Now I find that every time this jockass decides to strip down to his sweet nothings and wallow around with some sweat hog, we eat it.
I think that sums up my opinion of PWS.
We got angry Triple H in the room. All right, real quick. Next week is going to be a little bit of a clusterfuck. We're going to be doing the NXT TakeOver coverage beginning at 7 p.m., right?
Yeah, because I was actually watching a bit of NXT before I came on here. I was like, oh, shit, aren't we doing the pre-show for that?
We're doing the pre-show, and then Dave and I will do a throwback right after that. So instead of 9, we're going to start at 8. And then at 10 o'clock, they're going to do a post.
We'll start at 10 after the show.
You want to start at 10?
Yeah, I think it would be better because people want to watch NXT.
All right, so,
I want to watch NXT.
All right, so we'll do 7 to 8 on the pre-show. NXT will go down, and then at 10 o'clock, Dave and I will quickly recap the NXT card, and then we'll do our throwback.
Yeah.
All right, so that's how we'll do it. The first annual Black Achiever Awards live Thursday, February 19th, live on rantemradio.com. That is actually my wedding anniversary, but I'll be working. I'll be on my way home. Dave's actually presenting the main award. Tune in live for that. We're all going to be checking in.
You're damn right I am.
According to Tony C, there's going to be a really big boatload of people coming in for that.
There's going to be a lot of black people.
I just hope, you know, I just hope my man, I hope he comes through. Hope Tiny Lister comes through.
The Zeus Achiever Award.
I'm hoping, man. I really am hoping. So did you dig my soul?
I think we should have, there should be some sort of, there was the Heisman Trophy. There should be like the Zeus Trophy.
The Zeus?
The Zeus? Yeah, you know, the Zeus, you know, Spirit Award or something.
Josh is in the chat room. Tank's in the chat room.
You know, I reached out to him. I haven't heard back from him. I need to be on that guy's ass like all the time.
Who's that?
Zeus.
Oh, Tiny Lister, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, you know
what? Else's podcast. I know he's like a man of God, so I'm sure we can, guilt trip him to be on the show.
Mega Powers, you be my guest, man. This is 2015, and I am done chasing old wrestlers. They have no interest in coming on the show. Greg Klein checked in with us this week, who wrote the Junkyard Dog book and who won.
Yeah, I saw the message from
Greg. Greg's
going
to chime in for Black History Month. I told him anytime he wants to, chime in. We might be getting a call from Shining Wizards Eddie. We might be taking calls tonight. We don't know. But I told Greg and Eddie if they want to, call in, of course, they have carte blanche with the Turnbuckle Throwback. So
give them, you got to give them a date and a time.
I told them any Wednesday this month they want to call in. It's all good. I'm not going to, it's Black History Month, man. It's the best 28 days of the year.
We don't have to, not going to chain anybody down to come on the show.
That's what I'm saying. That's definitely what I'm saying. All right. So how was your week, man?
Week's been pretty good, but hitting the old gym. Hanging and clanking. Getting it some heavy metal, week's been treating me pretty good.
Fantastic. Glad to hear it.
How's everything with you?
Pretty good, man. This weather's been nutty. Work is crazy busy. Give you a little update from that interview I went on. They actually called me today.
Oh, how the what did they say?
They want three work references.
So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. So hopefully,
if they're asking for the references, that means that they're going to follow through. And as long as nobody throws you under the bus, you're in.
Pretty good. So,
I'm pretty sure this is a done deal, signed and sealed.
So your Impact Player Soul Brother number one might be getting a city job in a couple of weeks.
Moving up to the big city.
That's right. Like George Jefferson up in this bitch. Other than that, man.
Texas T.
Other than that, work.
Fools.
Other than that, everything's, cool in the gang. Just
movie
trying...
stars.
Movie stars. Didn't one of them just die recently? Didn't Ellie Mae die? One of them die?
I don't know. They all look dead to me.
They all look dead to you. My son came in here before he went to bed, and he handed me his book of T-Figgy because he heard me playing some Harlem Heat music. He said, "Here." I said, "Ah, good inspiration." So Booker T's hanging out with us tonight. You know what I'm saying? All right. So I don't really have a lot of news. Actually, I don't have any news, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know what? They're really, I don't know anything that's gone on this week. I haven't really heard anybody. Nobody's been dying. Nobody's fallen from buildings. Only real news that I have is that New Japan is doing a free month of New Japan World.
Yeah, shout out to our boy Eric. Eric was pissed, man, because he said he ordered it for the month and they charged him, and he can't activate it on nothing else but his computer. And
yeah, that's how it is. It's not like a thing for your television.
Boy,
unless you hook it up to your laptop, to your TV.
That's what I do. And if you have an Android device, then you can definitely, you could definitely rock that. And they have the Android has an app for it. So, don't get discouraged there, Mr. Eric Martin. You should be all right.
And plus, it's $8.40. American money.
$8.40, which people spend in one sitting for a Subway sandwich meal.
Yeah, man, with your chips and your
diet soda.
Gigantic ass Dr. Pepper.
Pretty much. You like Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I mean, once it makes
I haven't. Soda. I don't really drink soda maybe anymore. Maybe out of the year, I'll drink one soda out of the year.
Yeah, you're not a soda guy.
No.
I did see some of the interview with Triple H on Austin's podcast. I mean, Austin was kind of blasé, grilled him about certain things, but he really didn't get into what we all want to get into. He asked for a couple. Austin threw a bunch of names at him. He played like the word association game, like, you know, I'll give you a guy and you give me, you know, give me, like, I don't know, like, give me how you feel about him, whatever.
Yeah, well, what was it? I was listening to Austin's podcast. Thank you to Mr. Rex for getting me back on the podcast One Trail. Now I have more time at work to actually listen to it. Whatever episode I was listening to, he was talking about his interview with McMahon. And, you know, he put it out there pretty clearly. You know, he's not there to throw anybody under the bus. He is going to throw some questions that the fans are, you know, dying to hear. But for the most part, he's not going to really grill the guy, you know, to get to, strong arm some information out of him. And, I felt the same deal with Triple H. It's kind of like if you put people into a corner, then it's going to be like, all right, well, you know, I see this guy has an agenda, so I'm just not going to have his fucking podcast live on my network. And it makes sense. And, at the end of the day, you know, I know, again, it's, you know, it's we're spinning our wheels in the mud, you know, wanting to get certain information. And, you know, at the end of the day, we don't work there. We're not behind the scenes. We don't, you know these guys on a personal level. And, you know, speaking from my experience working, you know, at Beyond and, you know, other places, it's a whole different atmosphere when you're behind the scenes. And when you're behind the scenes, you get to really know these guys, you know, from a different perspective than what you see on the television show. And, you know, when you're operating from that point, which I'm sure, you know, it's not just WWE, it's TNA, it's any program, you know, they're going to work with guys that are going out of their way. They're going to, you know, make things happen for guys that are going the extra mile. And, you know, when the internet and, you know, people that work for that company leak out information, gets online, you know, it's not going to, you know, thrill and excite the crowd as it would otherwise. And, you know, again, you know, we don't know these guys on a personal level. You know, I know that one Raw that got preempted because of the storm, you know, we got to see a different side to these guys. And I feel that appealed more to the hardcore wrestling fans, the internet wrestling community, more so than how they're portrayed on television on a regular basis. So I think it helped those guys in that respect. But still, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we don't interact with these guys on the same level that the people that work with them, that are their bosses and such, you know, interact with them. So they're going to be giving them more opportunities than we would expect. But, you know, on the flip side of the coin, for people like us, you know, I talked about it, the Rumble, you know, the night of the Rumble. You know, I lost my train of thought for some reason, but what's it called? You know, these guys are kicking ass. They're working hard. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I completely lost my train of thought for some reason, but,
I get your point.
Yeah.
And again, shout out to Mr. I get like these random text messages on social media from Mr. X about podcasts. Cause sometimes I don't, you know, I mean, I'm pretty diligent with my podcast cause I have a really shitty commute. So I download my load for the week, and I be getting into some new ones. But once in a while, I miss one. And Mr. X is like, yo, you got to get this one from so-and-so. So shout out to
Mr. X. Yeah, he's mentioned the Lucha podcast to me, you know. You know, I listen to a lot of different podcasts, not just wrestling. So I'm going to see what I can do to fit in, you know, this Lucha podcast he was telling me for MLW. You know, see how it all goes, because I still haven't watched Lucha Underground, and I really want to get on that.
Yeah, dude, you might want to invest some time in that.
It seems like it's a really good show.
Yeah, and I know you're not a big – oh, you're a punk guy, so you know Jamie Josta from Hatebreed. He used to host Headbangers Ball a couple of years ago. He was the last host of Headbangers Ball, by the way.
I'm not a Hatebreed fan, but I know –
you're not, but you would definitely like Jamie's podcast. It's pretty cool. He interviews a lot of musicians and artists. He recently had Gunner on from TNA,
wow.
And it's a good interview. It's a really good interview, so check that out. And again, I want to go into the whole endorsing of the podcast, but you know, again, this is the climate that we're in, and this is what we come in.
There's no hidden agenda for the show. You know, right. I don't mind talking about other podcasts because, you know, frankly, you know, Austin, MLW, Jamie Jost's podcast are going to get more listeners than us.
Yeah, well, at this point, it doesn't matter. Speaking of MLW, I told you the Bullet Club's got their own podcast, right?
Yeah.
So that's like a 30-minute thing with Rocky Romero, Gallows, and Carl Anderson. It's pretty good. Cornette's is good. I mean, all those guys are good. I listen to a lot of other ones, too. I listen to the Old School Wrestling Podcast. I listen to Taz has one. Jericho has one. There's a
Jim Ross, Rowdy Piper, Jesse Ventura.
I play fantasy sports. I've been playing Strat-O-Matic baseball a lot. So I've been doing a lot of fantasy podcasts because I have a draft coming up in March.
Because you're living in a dream world.
Yeah, I pretty much am. But you know what I'm having? I'm grounded. You know, I'm level.
And you're having the time of your life.
I am having the time of my life, man. Living the dream, brother. Living the dream. Ice-T's got one, too, which is pretty cool. Anyway.
Listen to a Arnold Schwarzenegger interview on a podcast for Tim Ferriss. That was a nice little listen.
I want to thank the listeners and our peers for voting me breakout host and host of the year.
Even though you've been doing this for quite a bit?
3 years. And listen, man, it's a bit quirky, but I guess to me, it's a sign of respect from my peers and our fans. And anytime you get acknowledged for something, it's cool. And again, I don't do this alone. And I thanked everybody, you included. I called into the show, and I thanked everybody. I guess I'm a humble guy. I don't like to take credit for stuff if I don't do it. You know, if I do it alone, I do it alone. But I don't. So, just thank everybody for voting, and it's a cool little thing. And we're having a good time on a rant. We'll be here a year next month. You know, it's a good time. So again, thank everybody, and hopefully, it'll be an even better year than it was last year.
Yeah. So,
all right. Again, I don't have any news. I'm just gonna peruse the interwebs.
Real quick. We got questions.
We have questions. I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. I'm not gonna update Fastlane, Fast Track, whatever the hell it's called.
We're gonna steer clear of the current WWE products.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll still watch it, but unless something goes down drastically, I have no interest in bringing it up on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Facebook questions. Let's see. Okay, Choppy wants to know, Phil and Dave, do you know why Harlem Heat never made it to the WWF in the late 90s? I thought they would have been awesome in the Nation of Domination.
I think mainly because they were busy with WCW.
Yeah, and plus at that point.
Hey, man, guaranteed contracts. WWF wasn't offering that. You know, these guys could have been on the sidelines, and they were still guaranteed money. So, you know, for the guys that stuck in WCW, regardless of, you know, what people's perception of the product was, you know, it was a better place for them. And, you know, while I was doing some of the research for tonight's show, you know, I'm watching a lot of events, and, you know, that's where Booker T had his first world heavyweight title. You know, would that have been the case in WWE?
No, at that point they broke the team up. So Booker T was a solo artist at that point in the late 90s. Yeah. And like Dave said, he was a champion. So,
so why not, you know, boost your stock, whether it's the number one company or number two at the time? Just seems smarter for both of them to stay in WCW.
Baza wants to know, Harlem Heat versus Doom in a dream match, is it worthy of fantasy booking? Who wins?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, dude. I think I told them impromptu, you know, fantasy warfare. I would definitely book this match with world title implications. All the guys in the ring are very talented. Stevie Ray is a slight weak link, but you're talking about world-class athletes, man. Booker T, Ron Simmons, Butch Reed. I can go on and on, but that would be a fantastic and slightly stiff match.
Hey, man, it's a black-on-black crime dream match.
Well, you know, you're looking at, like, you got Booker T is the most athletic. You know, Butch Reed is your ground-and-pound kind of guy. Ron Simmons is the hybrid. He doesn't go to the air as much as Booker T, but he's the powerhouse. Well, Butch Reed was a powerhouse, too. And let's face it, all the guys looked great. They talked great. So, I mean, this would be all of them. I mean, Stevie Ray, 6'5", Booker T, 6'3". Ron Simmons, Butch Reed, both over 6 foot. Dude, it would be awesome. It really would. I would actually have it as the, you know, guys wearing masks and like gear, and they come out and like jumpsuits and stuff, and they would jump Harlem Heat, and they would take their gear off, and it would be revealed to be, you know, Simmons and Reed as the Heat.
Take off their janitor suits and attack them.
Exactly. Like, not the mask. You know, with the mask, you know it's them right away. But
yeah,
I would have them, like, you know, dress up in some kind of gear, like tactical gear or whatever, and jump them, and I would definitely have Simmons and Reed as the heels at that point. I would have Harlem Heat as the baby faces. So
yeah, I think that's the best way it could be done.
And as for a winner, I would take Doom with the slight advantage, only because Ron Simmons and Butch Reed have more experience. Even though Harlem Heat's been around for a minute, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed were around a minute longer. So I would definitely give it to Doom for the advantage. But
no, I would book it the opposite way for the opposite reason. I think Harlem Heat would get the advantage, not just because of youth, but you know, as wrestling has evolved, you know, their moveset was a bit more flashier, but you know, it just goes to show that you know, they know a bit more. Maybe they know a few more tricks than Ron Simmons and Butch Reed would know. Booker T is a former world heavyweight champion. So, granted, Ron Simmons was, but Booker T was a five-time WCW champion. And Ron Simmons can only boast about one world heavyweight championship. And I feel that the team of Harlem Heat could go longer and stronger than Doom. And they would be able to pull out the victory. Pulled the hood over Doom's head. Pardon the pun.
Okay. Fair enough. Harry wants to know, why did Booker T and Stevie Ray have a fallout? And how long do they both go in the Hall of Fame? Well, Booker T's already in. They probably will do Harlem Heat eventually. According to William Morgan, the storyline was over a young lady by the name of Midnight. Booker wanted her as a part of Harlem Heat. Stevie Ray did not. Midnight and Stevie Ray had a match. And if Midnight beat Stevie Richards, she joins Harlem Heat.
Stevie Richards?
Stevie Ray, I'm sorry. Stevie Ray, she joins the Harlem Heat. I'm sorry, dude. I worked today. I'm exhausted. She beat Stevie Ray with a small package, and that's when Stevie Ray left Harlem Heat. He reformed the group sometime later with Ahmed Johnson, but to me, it just wasn't the
big
same.
Big T.
Yep, Big T. And in real life, Booker T wanted to go on his own. Of course, he won the TV title, had some fantastic matches with Chris Benoit, which elevated him to world title status. So, you are correct, Mr. Will. I am Morgan. He also posted a picture. And let's see.
Fantastic Wikipedia work by Mr. Will Morgan.
Sugar Shane, Harlem sidekick or super kick? Definitely the Harlem sidekick. I like a good super kick, but the Harlem sidekick had some pizzazz to it.
Since it's Black History Month, I'm going to go with the super kick.
Tank wants to know, with today's news of Miss Tori Wilson coming back onto the single market after getting the boot from Alex Rodriguez from the New York Yankees.
Wait, he gave her the boot?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Do you think, dude, he's had some primo trim, that guy.
I don't doubt it.
He's a scumbag. He's a cheater, but he had some nice trim. After getting the boot from A-Rod, do you think Mega Powers has a shot with her? The new name of the show, Once She Kills Him, the new Turnbuckle Throwbacks, with two Ranty Award-winning winners, Phil, Rhea, and the Tank. Now, I can't replace Mega Powers with you, Tank. Not yet. Anyway.
Even if I was dead, I couldn't be replaced.
This is true. Well, listen, just because Mega Powers got shot down by Renee, that doesn't mean Tori Wilson would brush him off. Mega Powers is a good-looking dude. And I'm not putting him over because he's my partner. He's a handsome fuck in those little skinny jeans he wears.
So, hey, man, you know, God bless me with some good jeans.
Right? So I think...
For both G-E-N-E and a pair of jeans that I wear.
Right. So, Big Tone's in the chat room. What's up, Big Tone? Anyway.
Isn't Big Tone Will Morgan's guy?
Yeah, he's a wrestling call-in show guy.
All right. Yeah. He knows where to get the real information.
Big Tone's a rant supporter. He's a supporter of all the shows. Shout out to Big Tone.
What's up, Big T? The other Big T.
That's right. Our Big T.
With two G's.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Booker T and Stevie Ray are actually teaming up for the first time since 1999 at the Reality of Wrestling card next month.
That's the name of Booker T's group, right?
And you know who they're fighting, right?
No.
Shining Edward Jackson's crew, the Heavenly Bodies.
Really?
They're reuniting one more time to fight our local guys from Pro Wrestling Syndicate. The Heavenly
Bodies.
It's
down in Texas, right?
In Texas, yes.
Texas T.
That's right. So shout out to Justin and Mark, the Heavenly Bodies.
The new Heavenly Bodies.
Yeah, new Heavenly Bodies. And Shining Edward Jackson and his champion, Falaba, Yokozuna Jr. Okay.
Isn't that guy like Puerto Rican or something?
Is what?
Falaba. He's a Puerto Rican guy, right?
I don't know what he is. He's angry.
And he's big.
Anyway. Have you seen the, and thank you, Josh, for bringing this up. I was going to bring it up to Dave. They have some global wrestling on the network. Did you see it?
GW? Yeah, I told you about it.
Yeah, you told me about it, and I put it on. It was Rod Price and Hollywood John Tatum, Jack.
Yo, that man looked like anything but Hollywood. He looked like the fucking junkies that hang out in Hollywood.
Yeah, but dude, he can go, man.
He totally can. You know, the guy's a worker, like GWF, a friend of mine texted me about it this morning. I was like, yeah, I saw it. And he's like, everybody on that show seems like all the jobbers on WWF. I was like, you're right. But at the same time, like, granted, you know, these guys are not like A-quality guys, but some of them, you know, went on to be A-quality guys, like the Patriots, 1-2-3 Kid, Jerry Lynn, Harlem Heat, of course. I can't really say Marcus Bagwell was an A player, but he came from the GWF roster as well, so they did have some big names on there.
Yo, it's 2:30 in the morning in jolly old England, and Harry's in the chat room. Hello, thank you for hanging out.
2:31 a.m.
2:31. Thank you, Harry. Yeah, man.
Oh, so well, I gotta say, I really appreciate Harry and any of the UK guys that come on, you know, at this time of the evening to listen to our show live.
That's insane, man. It's so humbling.
Like, I can't say that I would do that for everybody, but I appreciate that Harry does that for us.
That's just, it's so weird. And like, I was telling somebody at work that the other day, I'm like, these guys are so fucking cool. And I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting in front of these guys in the chat room, but all joking aside, Dave and I are really, really in a good spot. We have a lot of good people supporting us, and we really thank
you. Hey, man, it's a family atmosphere, you know. It's not just, host and listener. It's a real family unit.
Yeah, we take care of each other, which I like too. Yeah. All right. That's it with the questions. You want to bring up anything before we take a quick break and then get into our throwback?
I'm ready to talk about some black people.
Awesome. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. It is the beginning of Black History Month on the Rant EM Radio Network. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, the Impact Player, Soul Brother Number 1, Black Powers. We're hanging out with you for a little while longer. Let's take a quick break, plug off friends, and we'll be right back with a kick-ass throwback for you. Hang out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
As soon as you know what our show, head on over to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for 10 awesome shows. You have the After Midnight podcast, the Midnight Jury podcast, Thursday Night Destruction, the Neckbreaker podcast, the Inconclusive Breakdown podcast, Apex Radio, part of Apex Wrestling Entertainment, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 2.5 Wrestlers, King of the Indies podcast, and of course, the Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's entertainment here. Hey kids, we got t-shirts. That's right, we're selling t-shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks for 4 fresh designs. We have the original logo with an artwork by Dean Stoll. We have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks NES design. We have the British-inspired World of Sport logo and the New Japan Pro Wrestling logo parody. So what are you waiting for, guys? Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Buy a shirt. Buy a shirt. Buy a shirt, man.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com with such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, The Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
Rant Entertainment Media, that's right. Go to rantemradio.com for some fantastic programming. Every Tuesday live at 8 p.m. you have The Rant with Double A and Tony C. Every Wednesday night you have the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live with Phil Rea, the Impact Player, and Dave Megapowers. Every Thursday evening you have The Rexplex at 7 p.m. and Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. Every Saturday evening live at 11 p.m., Mr. Will.i.am Morgan with the Wrestling Call-In Show. Every Sunday, live at 5 p.m., it's the What Are You Reading comic book show with Jordan Surfer. And a weekly visit from the Lex Experience podcast. It's the hit. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio. The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing as Ike.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you.
Stop, man. Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, Wax.
That was all right. So disrespectful.
Alright.
Nah, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your girl's,
saw,
about,
like, you
that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help
no,
Ike.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
We want, and after we take Lex Luger in the jab, we want the gold, sucker, Hulk Hogan. We coming for you, nigga.
I should point out for the record, Stevie Ray, look at this. Take a look. We're talking about the rack, the torch.
Oh,
Can you dig it? Can you dig it, sucker?
All right, Cyrus.
What'd you kill Cyrus for? No reason. I just like doing things like that.
Yeah, that was for the line when they were in the...
Yeah, Coney Island.
Oh, no. You're right. You're right. I was thinking about...
You questioning about the Warriors?
Wait a second. I think I might be right and you might be wrong. I think that line was said when...
they were in Coney Island.
Yeah. But
at the end scene.
The Rogues were at that candy spot and they were on the phone. That dude was on the phone. Then he gets off the phone and... You know, she's like, oh, you got to like, no. You're right. I'm thinking about something else.
Come on, Mega Powers. I'm not right about a lot of things, but I'm right about the Warriors.
You're right about that. Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. RantEMRadio.com, a Shining Wizards Network production. Some more programming notes for you. March 1st will be our Ring of Honor pre-show, live at 7 p.m. Dave, you're welcome to join me for that.
What day is that?
March 1st, Sunday.
Okay.
I might be a bit inebriated, though. It's the St. Patrick's Day Parade here on Staten Island.
Well, I'm going to be 100% sober, and I'm going to be in WWE 2K15 mode, taking on all challengers before the event.
Cool. So you're welcome to come over for the pay-per-view. If not, join me on the air. But join me live either way, rantemradio.com, for the 13th anniversary show of the of Ring of Honor Wrestling.
Now I'm going to have to get caught up on ROH.
Yeah, Del Rio's on the card. Jay Lethal's on the card. Jay Briscoe defending the title in a four-way, I believe. ODB is on the card. It's a good match. It's a good time. Good time. Good times to be had. All right. Let's see what we got going on here. So, are you ready for a fucking kick-ass throwback this week?
Yeah, man. I don't really have any... particular notes. Actually, last night and the night before, I just started just watching random matches, you know, whether it was the GWF stuff on the network. Watched a bunch of the Harlem Heat 2000 stuff. You know, I want to talk about that because
all right, well, what's some
people got their opinions on it, and I'm sure they don't even remember it that well.
They're waiting to hear about the 10-time World Tag Team Champions. So let's get into our let's play our song.
All right.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Throwback of the week, sponsored by Pro Wrestling Tees. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle-throwbacks. Four shirts, kids. The original logo, the NES parody, the World of Sport logo, and the New Japan parody logo. That just got put up there for Mega Powers' birthday. All right. Want to sell some more shirts? Then we'll add the IWO logo. But for now, be a mark. Buy the shirt.
People want that Mule Club shirt. And
they ain't getting shit till they buy more shirts. How about that?
Absolutely.
How about that? How do you like those apples?
Fucking how do you like those t-shirts?
How do you like those t-shirts? All right, Mega Powers. Harlem Heat. Booker T and Stevie Ray, the Huffman Brothers.
Yeah, I know. I did a little research, too, and they wrestled with the Ghetto Blasters. How cool is that? I wish they kept that name.
Ghetto Blasters. I hated the Ebony Experience, dude. They're a great team, but the Ebony Experience sounds like an opening band for, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire or the Commodores.
It sounds like a fucking, like, it should be painted on a velvet backdrop.
Right, on a backdrop for a band that's the opening band for, like I said, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Commodores, the Gap Band, any of those funk bands of the late 70s, early 80s.
So, what was the name of that one group that did that song, Can You Dig It? They had some, like, funny-ass name.
There's a bunch of...
Like, dudes. Brothership or something like that. Let me...
Parliament you talking about?
No, not Parliament. Grazing in the Gas is a Gas. Grazing in the... In the Grass is a Gas, Can You Dig It song.
Oh, that's not a that's a 70s song, right?
Yeah, man, but it was still
Yeah, of course it's funk too.
What
the fuck is
the name of that goddamn band?
Well, Google it, son.
You have to look it up.
You know, intrawebs. intrawebs. Anyway. Yeah,
I didn't care that they were called the Ebony Experience. They were still awesome ass-kicking tag team.
Yo, no doubt they were an ass-kicking tag team. I just didn't like the name, dude. Did not like the name at all. They just, I could just see them opening up for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Peaches and Herb?
No, Peaches and Herb were a bit on the R&B side, but I'm talking about like the funk, like Parliament and Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Bootsy Collins. Rick James.
Rick James, fucking Isaac Hayes, Bobby Womack.
Some sort of Stax Records group.
Your boy. Opening up, I'm sure he would have an opening act like that.
My boy.
Yeah, your boy, your favorite soul brother.
Charles Bradley?
Charles motherfucking Bradley.
I think people would call him the Ebony Experience.
I don't know, man. I think that would be his entourage. If Charles had his way, he would have.
No, the dude's entourage is a bunch of Jewish guys from Bushwick. So.
That's right, baby. That's my hometown, baby. Nobody sleeps. Brooklyn, New York. Top of the food chain. All right. Harlem Heat, originally from Texas. They got their start in Putski's Wrestling League over there, the WWA, which Putski had some success in the WWA.
Ivan Putski or Scott Putski?
No, Ivan Putski. He made his son champion, but
yes, he did.
But the WWA was pretty successful for a while. Obviously, like any good sibling rivalry, they had a on-screen rivalry to jump off their careers. And then we know the story, Skandar Akbar gets them. They get to global wrestling around the early 90s. They get repackaged as the Ebony Experience.
I found the name of the group.
What's the name of the group?
The Friends of Distinction.
Oh, dude, of course. Oh, I fucking forgot. I own that record, probably.
Yeah, they would fucking have the Ebony Experience.
They would have the Ebony Experience opening up for them.
Isley Brothers,
Casey and the Sunshine Band. I'm telling you, we should start a band called the Ebony Experience.
And try to open for all those bands.
Yeah, absolutely. We would get it definitely.
Cool in the gang.
And can you imagine us on a boardwalk in Atlantic City? Now playing the Ebony Experience. We'll get some brothers. We'll get a horn section. We'll get some gospel singers. We'll get some brothers on drums and bass. Oh, man, it'd be fantastic.
I'm pretty sure a good portion of the Rant crew, you know, knows how to play bass and drums.
Absolutely. The best part about the Ebony Experience in their GWF run was them being under the tutelage of one of the greatest minds of pro wrestling, Mr. Gary Hart.
And what was his zodiac sign?
What was the zodiac sign?
Yeah.
I forgot.
If he's going to be a part of the Ebony Experience, he's got to know his sign.
Oh, Gary Hart, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, Gary Hart's a Scorpio. Of course. I'm a Leo.
Triple Scorpio has an Ebony Experience name. We need to add him into the group.
Of course. They feuded with Skandar Akbar. They won the tag team championships in GWF.
GWF, you know, Grant, that was the very first episode of GWF that I've ever seen. The only matches from GWF that I've seen prior were the 1-2-3 Kid Jerry Lynn feud for the light heavyweight title.
And the Handsome Stranger matches with Marcus Bagwell.
I did not watch any of those matches, and I do not want to watch any of those matches. But I will say GWF seemed like it was like a, an offspring of WCCW.
Well, I think, you know, the GWF was all the world class rejects. I shouldn't say rejects because Gary Young was a good wrestler. So was John.
What was it? Was Lance Von Erich in there?
No.
Oh, Black Hammer's in the room.
He said the New Day could back us up.
No, they're too busy opening up for Kirk Franklin or Ty Tribbett.
Who's that preacher dude that comes to the garden all the time? Quefo Dawa?
Yes. Backup group for Quefo Dawa.
Right.
At 5 o'clock in the morning.
But the GWF had all like the the guys who never went to any of the other territories. They got like Steve Dane, Gary Young. They had the Blackbirds with King Parsons, Iceman King Parsons, and Action Jackson.
No, I said to somebody after watching that GWF episode that Steve Dane looked like one of those dollar store wrestling figures, but it was completely out of shape and the hairline was...
But he can go, though. The Bocos...
It doesn't matter if they can go. I'm just saying what they look like.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, Hollywood John Tatum was the truth, dude. Him and Jack Victory were a good tag team, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know we're getting off topic, but I just wanted to say that match between him and Chaz on the GWF episode was hilarious.
Chaz is awful. Do you see that frosty mullet he had?
He had
a frosty mullet, Mega Powers.
I know,
mullet.
I regardless of his frosty ass mullet. Just that promo, that god-awful promo. Like, was it Steve Dane comes down the aisle with I don't even remember what her name was, but, you know, apparently it was Chaz's girlfriend. And the guy that's interviewing him, who looks a lot like the new guy on NXT, he's like, oh, is she your girlfriend? He's like, ah, my God, what is she doing here? Like, not answering the question, just, like, saying random things. And the guy has to, like... browbeat the dude to say, like, hey, is this your bitch that came down the aisle with dashing Steve Dane or whatever his name was.
That's funny.
And it was just like one of the worst promos, but I had such a great time watching that. And we got two doses of the Ebony Experience.
We did.
One was the match with Hollywood John Tatum and Rugged Rod Price.
Yep.
And
Rod Price looked like an in-shaped Jack Victory. Pretty much.
Yeah. And John Tatum was doing some of the best karate that I've ever seen.
I'm telling you, he was the truth.
Yes.
We're definitely doing a global wrestling episode in the future, or like a world class.
Yeah, I need to, I didn't have ESPN, with this network, with this show was on, so I didn't get to catch this. The only wrestling on ESPN that I caught wind of was the AWF.
Little Richard Marley could be the roadie for the Ebony Express. I would definitely put that through, Tony C. You know what? Anybody who has ESPN Classic, you have to pay for ESPN Classic. I didn't want to pay for it. And I wasn't going to buy it just for, global and world class because they play that stuff. And they play the AWA shit, too. So anybody who has ESPN Classic, they should. And, Mr. X used to be on ESPN, absolutely.
But we got to bring it back to the Ebony Experience. Did you think of them as a team back then? Was that your first time seeing them as the Ebony Experience? Or
yes,
have you watched...
that was the very first time I saw them as a tag team. But I didn't see them fight Rod Price and John Tatum. I saw them fight the other two knuckleheads, Johnny Mantel and...
Bart.
Yeah, Black Bart. The
other Ebony Experience.
No, they weren't the Ebony Experience. They were the Rough Riders, and then he even feuded with the Bad Breed, Axel and Ian. They were 3-time global champions, and they, the Fed faded. Now enter WCW. Mm. 1993 was a transitional year for WCW. They were.
Hogan was a year away.
Well, Hogan was a year away. They had Vader and Sid, and they had Sting, and
this was like their slab of beef, Bill Watts.
This was still the Bill Watts era. They had
some real shit kickers.
They had Sting. They had Dustin Rhodes. They had a bunch of guys.
They had our man Ron Simmons, the first Black World Heavyweight Champion. Though technically he's not the first Black World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, we'll get into that another time, but
yeah.
Anyway, so they debuted in the summer of '93 as Cole and Kane. Terrible names, by the way. But they were big, nasty bastards. You have to understand.
Well, wait a second. Cole was kind of like a Black guy name in the '90s.
With a K, though.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Hey, man. People were placing C's and K's all the time in the 90s. You should know that.
I do know that. I'm fully aware.
Especially in the early 90s. Once it hit the mid period, that's when people started questioning, really? Should I use Z instead of S? should I use that K instead of a C? And people started questioning that and switching it back.
So here's something I didn't know. They were built from Harlem. We knew that across 110th Street. Shout out to Bobby Womack.
I was going to tell you to play that, but we already used that song.
Used it for Hooker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't know this, and this has you written all over it, but originally the gimmick was they were supposed to be a pair of prisoners that were won in a card game by your uncle, Rob Parker.
Of course.
Right. But they changed it due to, obviously, the fucking the racism in it, you know? And they were going to bring out, like, shackles and stuff like that, dude. Are you serious?
Yeah, I heard about that, but...
Dude, I read that. I was like, I can't believe that shit.
Yeah, they cut that off pretty quick. I don't think I don't think Uncle Oli was behind that.
No, but could you just imagine... Listen, I know it's 1993. I get it. But I got to tell you, can you just imagine your Uncle Rob Parker bringing out 6'3" and 6'5", Booker T and Stevie Ray, three huge African-American svelte-looking brothers in chains. This is before the Django. This is before Sling Blade. It just has me singing slave songs in the back of my head, dude.
Or Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Zippity-Doo-Dah. Yeah, exactly. Thank God that
or,
did not happen.
Wade in the Water.
Yeah, because honestly, pro wrestling has a long history of racism. Some of it tongue-in-cheek, a lot of it not, and that's no joke, and that's kind of bullshit, and I call shenanigans.
Well, hey, man, you know, at the end of the day, what was it? I think there were some differences between the bookers of Mid-South, which was Bill Watts.
Right.
Ernie the Big Cat Lad, and there was another person too. I forgot who it was who was extremely racist.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it was, you know, the color that they all cared about was the color green. So it didn't really matter. And a lot of those dudes who, you know, if you go back and watch you know, like a Rufus R. Jones or any of those kind of dudes who just seem like dumb as shit. You know, your cornbread guys who would totally be called boy and, you know, every bad word in the book, you know, by their opponents. And those guys, at the end of the day, they didn't give a shit because it put more heat on their opponent and, you know, made them look like, you know, regardless of their lack of skill or whatever was going on with some of these dudes, especially with a guy like Rufus R. Jones, just made them faces and, you know, endeared them to the crowd. And more people wanted to see Rufus R. Jones kick the shit out of Ric Flair or whoever the fuck he was facing because of stuff like that. And, you know, whether wrestling fans want to say, like, oh, that's unethical or anything like that, well, wrestling is a fucking fantasy. So embrace the racism in wrestling.
Right.
It's been there since the dawn of time.
Yeah, absolutely. The best part about this era, particularly, though, in the early 90s, Dave, was there still was not a shortage of good tag teams.
Yeah.
Now Harlem Heat, they're so big and so aggressive looking, they automatically become heels. They put them in the War Games match.
Yeah, it was their first year in, and they were in the War Games match with Sid and Vader.
Right.
Against Sting. Bulldog, Shockmaster, and who was the other guy?
I think Dustin Rhodes.
Okay, Dustin Rhodes. That's not, yeah, it was Dustin Rhodes.
There you go.
So, you know, these guys immediately were kind of, you know, thrust into the main event picture. To be quite honest, when I started seeing the Harlem Heat, I was not a fan of theirs until Booker T broke free from Stevie Ray. But, you know, going back and watching a lot of their matches with a fresh pair of eyes, you know, not just now, but, you know, over the last several years, because, you know, I was a lot younger then. And, you know, when you watch some of this stuff back then, you know, I was more caught up in it. I was a lot younger.
Yeah, but now you have a better appreciation for it.
Yeah. And, you know, watching these guys, they totally fit the mold of a 90s tag team, which was granted, you knew that none of these guys were going to be world champion, you know, at that point in time. But they could be put into a main event picture against the world heavyweight champion and stand a chance. You know, the tag teams back then, specifically with Harlem Heat, you know, they were big enough and strong enough to blend in with the heavyweights, you know, singles division guys. And they were fantastic talkers. They really put over, you know, the fact that they were from Harlem, despite being from Texas. And, you know, it didn't matter who was managing them, whether it was Sister Sherry.
Well, that's
Rob.
Sister Sherry took them over in the next year and brought them back, brought their names back. At their apparently they wanted their names back, but they had a feud. They won the belts from a really good tag team of Mark Bagwell and the Patriot, Del Wilkes. I think the Patriot was Del Wilkes, right?
Yeah, he was. Okay. Patriot has always been Del Wilkes until I think maybe it's been over the last.
He was the Trooper. I think, right? He was the Trooper first in Global. He was Del Wilkes?
I don't know, because I wasn't watching Global.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to say it, that's the truth, but I know Del Wilkes was the Patriot. All right.
It was Sal Sincere who bought the gimmick from him. I think it's been over like the last 10 years. And whenever you see the Patriot at a local high school gym or something like that, it's fucking Salvatore Sincere or... What was his name? Johnny Gunn or something like that?
Yeah, Johnny Gunn. And I know the Dog Patriot was Doug Gilbert.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So now they swapped the belts. And that title match was good. Nothing short of really – some of the tag teams run of the mill. A lot of the guys
– the first world heavyweight tag team championship that the Harlem Heat won, right?
Right.
On Saturday nights – WCW Saturday night.
WCW Saturday night, yeah.
That was a pretty decent match. Like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, really?
No, yeah, didn't you have to watch it?
Stripes. But I watched it, I was like, oh, you know, this is their first title win. And it was a pretty decent match. You know, I give a lot of credit to Bagwell and the Patriot. They had some great matches with Pretty Wonderful, which was Paul Roma.
Another good tag team back then. I mean, you had Bunkhouse Buck, Dirty Dick Slater, the Stud Stable. Your Uncle Rob brings the Stud Stable back. They swap belts there too.
This led to the marriage between Uncle Rob Parker
and Sister Sherry. Yeah, you had an aunt Sherry in your family for a while there.
Yeah, and she's dead.
I know. So did you have any big meals at the Powers plant with them? No, right?
All the time.
All the time? Oh, cool. All right.
Some bread, some, I don't know. Some yard bird from the Harlem Heat side.
Harry, I didn't tell you to fucking, I said I thought the Seahawks were going to win. I didn't tell you to bet on them, you fucking degenerate gambler. All right? Your football's better anyway. Anyway, I just peeked in the chat room. Okay. So, I mean... Of course, now it's 95, 96. You got teams like the American Males. You have
Steiners.
The Steiners. You have the Nasty Boys, who they had a huge feud with.
Faces of Fear. Yeah. I forgot. I totally forgot about the Nasty Boys feud because if anybody, it was WCW who was getting more hip to the ECW tip and doing some more of the hardcore matches. You know, they were doing it in 93 with when Cactus Jack was still there, when he was jumping in between WCW and ECW, and they had a talent exchange going on. And what was it? It was like it was at the first Uncensored in 96.
Yeah.
You had the tag title match, which was like False Count Anywhere. They were in the concession stand fighting. And I really enjoyed that match. That was probably like the last time that I liked the Nasty Boys. And their feud with Harlem Heat was pretty decent. But I really feel Harlem Heat wasn't really tested until they started feuding with Steiners and Sting and Luger.
Well, yeah, Tony C and I were talking about that a few weeks ago, and soon as I told him that we were going to be doing Harlem Heat, he was like, "Oh, you got to bring up the Luger and Sting match."
Of course.
And I said, "Yeah, you know what, dude? I got to be honest with you. I hated Public Enemy when they were in WCW, but they even gave Harlem Heat a good match.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a thing where, you know, they were good wrestlers. And again, taking nothing away from Stevie Ray, because I again, it's just another example of another team that could that broke up and had success as individuals, and didn't happen very often at that point. I mean, Pillman and Austin did it in the 90s, of course, and then Harlem Heat do it. And, I mean, again, it's a credit to them, and they had some really, really good feuds at that point.
Yeah, and I think, especially for WCW at the time, you know, the roster was so well-rounded at that point. They had some great tag teams. They had Fire and Ice. Ice Train along with Flash, Scott Norton.
Right, you mentioned the Faces of Fear, and they repackaged Parker. Your Uncle Rob went French Canadian and brought in the Quebecers.
They were feuding with Harlem Heat.
They feuded with look what happened with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, which led to what I just played before.
Yeah, what was it? It was the they had the triangle match between Harlem Heat, Sting and Luger and the Steiner Brothers on, I believe it was a Nitro.
Yeah, and they were tight. They wanted the belts back, and this is what happened.
We won, and after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
I should point out for the...
Yeah,
that will never get old.
No.
And what was it? Somebody interviewed him about that.
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube.
And he just basically said that he just got caught up in the moment and let the street in him come out.
Perfect.
I would love to see Mean Gene call somebody a nigga.
No. I don't even like when you say it. You're too white to say that word.
I am not too white.
You are, dude. You're too white to say that word. I'm sorry.
I'm the blackest man.
No, I'm not the black. You're not the blackest man I know. I'm sorry.
I'm the blackest man on the Shining Wizards Network, the Rant EM Radio Network.
Uh-oh. What's up? Unsolid Majority is here. What's up, lover?
Nothing. Are you chattering in the hallway about black men?
About black men, yes.
Of course, my ears perk up.
Of course, you like the brothers. Big man dingo-looking motherfuckers. What are you doing?
I can't help it. The heart wants what it wants.
Get out of here, you fucking prevert. Get out of here. I'm doing the show, man.
Shut up.
Is it really the heart
I'll
that
be
wants
done
it?
In a few minutes. I'm going to bed. You going to bed?
Fuck y'all. I'm going to bed.
Man. Anyway.
Woman, get your ass to bed.
Yeah, Dave Mega Power said, get your ass to bed. Make sure you make my sandwich for lunch tomorrow. Bitch. Of course, you're not standing here when I say that.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, not a shortage of good tag teams. Not a bad tag team, I should say.
Yeah.
You know,
well, what did you think was sticking out about Harlem Heat during this time? Because they had, you know, some stiff competition. They had friggin' Steiners. They had Sting and Luger. You know, what about them made them relevant to stick out with all those tag teams that were going on at that time?
Every team at that point before like 97 gave them a wonderful, wonderful match. And I'm talking like all the teams we mentioned as, you know, just gave it was quality tag teams. It was good. And it was some journeymen, guys made up, guys came over from different feds. Because now the team, I mean, they break the team up right before, like we mentioned the whole Midnight thing. They fired Sherry, they added Miss Jackie at one point, I think.
She was there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, because she bounced and got more money at the E. But,
yeah.
You know, and then of course we all know what happens. Stevie Ray joins the New World Order, and Booker T goes on to be
GI Bro.
No, he wasn't. Was he GI Bro first?
No. From what I remember, he split up from Stevie Ray. The whole Harlem Heat 2000 thing happens, and I want to talk a little bit about Harlem Heat 2000.
Hold on a second. I want to find out when he was GI Bro.
He was GI Bro after the TV title stuff.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he was Booker, and then he became GI Bro, And then the Misfits in Action blew up. They were mega popular.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
And then once that started to die down, he went back to Booker T, had the U.S. Championship from Scott Steiner, dropped that, and then was feuding with Steiner again.
Who you're right. You're right.
Became the world champion.
You're right.
But I want to say this. You know, a lot of people, not too many people talk about the MIA, the Misfits in Action, and they were really over. They were incredibly over, especially their feud with Team Canada. And a lot of people, questioned why Booker at the time, because he had lost his T to Big T. Harlem Heat Incorporated had stripped him of his music. And then they had a match, I believe, where it was Big T versus Booker T. And the winner would have the right to the letter T, which did not make any sense whatsoever. But, of course, Big T wins the match. Gets the T from Booker T, who is now just Booker. And, Booker T, prevails during that thing. But then he had the great Best of Seven series with Benoit for the TV title.
Right, right. But let's talk about Harlem Heat, the 2000, because they feuded with Bam Bam and Canyon, if you remember. And then I just understand they brought Kendall Windham back. And the Windham, and the Windhams, they swapped belts there. You mentioned the Filthy Animals, they feuded with them, and then you mentioned the GI Bro thing came with like you said, you mentioned the whole boot camp with the MIA.
But he was
GI Bro though in Putski,
in the beginning,
and Putski's a federation, I believe. I think.
So a lot of people were wondering why he became GI Bro, but that was just because
it was easy
for him. Was bringing back his old gimmick, and it was appropriate for the MIA, which was literally just kind of like random dudes that were kind of thrown together, but they were extremely talented, had great personalities, and they got over.
Right.
With Hugh fucking Morris leading the pack. Who would have thought that dude?
Well, Bill DeMott wasn't a bad wrestler. He's just a terrible trainer, according to certain people. But you asked me before what stands out about Harlem Heat, and I can honestly tell you, with all sincerity, that one of the classic power and speed teams ever in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Both guys over 6'2", 1'6", 3", I think Steve Ray's like 6'5", and 300 pounds, and just agile dudes, man.
Like, yeah, Booker T had
the scissor kick and the side kick.
He had some reach, and he was a tall dude. You know, when he did that scissor kick, it was like he had a huge ass leg.
Yeah, but Stevie Ray was taller, and he got some. He got all the power moves in. It looked believable. It looked believable. They sold it well, and I got to be honest with you. The best, cool is the other side of the pillow. These guys were fantastic in the ring. They cut great promos. They had awesome mouthpieces with Uncle Rob and Sister Sherry.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even need mouthpieces. They were good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they were good on their own. But, I just think for their sake, especially with when they were coming up and stuff, there was a lot of stiff competition in WCW for the tag teams, and I felt it really helped for them to have a Colonel Rob Parker or a Sister Sherry, just to keep them relevant and in the mix, not to get lost in all the mega talent that they had, with Sting and Luger or Blue Bloods or Road Warriors who came back, Steiner Brothers, Public Enemy, who they were red hot from ECW, Nasty Boys, we're a big name already. And, I'll say this about Harlem Heat on the black side of things. When you're competing against, other teams that have a similar gimmick, whether it's the Public Enemy or the Gangsters, a team like Harlem Heat, you know, is able to stick out because despite being a WCW team, which meant, you know, they were a bit more safe than a Gangstas or Public Enemy. But, you know, just their sheer strength, ability, work rate in the ring, mic skills, and, you know, how they came to the ring, how they presented themselves. They were able to, you know, be a dominant African-American tag team despite, you know, what kind of teams are being thrown their way.
It's funny.
And be able to get the tag straps 10 times. Which I'm sure was unheard of at that time.
And it wasn't a thing where they were, you know, bad and won all these belts. They were, like I mentioned, a solid team.
Yeah.
They represented everything good about African Americans in wrestling. You know? And I hear this all the time on the Colin show. I hear it from other guys in other message boards and stuff, like, you know, brothers don't get the rub anymore. Brothers don't get the push anymore.
Yeah, but not all of them are talented.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
Not all of them have it.
Exactly. Those guys.
You can't sell it. You can't buy it.
Thank you, Dave. You just finished my statement.
Nobody can hand you it.
Those guys had it. Ron Simmons had it. Butch Reed had it. Junkyard Dog had it. Big Cat Ernie Ladd had it.
And I want to say something else, too. You know, a lot of people feel, you know, you can't teach it. You can't learn it. You just have it. I disagree there. But, you know, in the sport of professional wrestling, a lot of guys that get by quicker are guys that already have it. But in the case of Harlem Heat, you know, from what I saw, you know, I didn't really ever see these guys as having it, you know, as far as getting past a tag team division. But, you know, Booker T proved that wrong and was able to be a dominant world heavyweight champion. He wasn't a dude who just had it one time. He had it five times.
Right.
And that was a big deal, you know, back then. It's still a big deal now. Like, the only other, you know, African-American world champion that could really boast having a significant reign is maybe The Rock and, you know, you can argue about it, you know, possibly Mark Henry.
Harry puts up a good question in the chat room. Should Booker T have won a WWE title?
He did.
The WWE title?
Well, he won the World Heavyweight Championship.
As King Booker.
But still, that was a major championship for WWE. It may not have been the precise WWE title, but still, at that time, who was the other? Because he had the champion versus champion match at Night of Champions. Wasn't it against Cena, or was it somebody else?
Who, Booker T?
Yeah, when he was King Booker.
He fought Austin, didn't he?
He fought Austin, but that was not when he was King Booker.
Oh, I forgot it. Yeah.
Because he came in as part of the WCW invasion as the WCW champion, and they actually had some WCW World Heavyweight Championship matches on Raw, but it wasn't until Rock dethroned him for the title.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about when he was King Booker. There was a champion versus champion match and Night of Champions, the very first Night of Champions. I forgot who he beat.
I forgot. I have to look it up. Kid, you've been saying Cena, so you're right.
Okay. And he beat Cena to be the champion of champions.
Right.
But what was your favorite Harlem Heat match?
My favorite Harlem Heat match would have to be against Sting and Luger. Then when they took the belts back from Stars and Stripes, and I really, really liked Bam Bam Bigelow, them against the Outsiders, and then Bam Bam Bigelow. There's a whole bunch of them. But my favorite match was them against Luger and Sting.
Wasn't it the Outsiders who won their first world tag team championship from Harlem Heat?
From Harlem Heat, yeah.
Yeah. So that was history right there. But my favorite Harlem Heat match was against the Steiner Brothers on Great American Bash. I think it was 97, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah, it had to be 97 because 96 Bash at the Beach was when the NWO formed. And granted, it was a disqualification finish with my boy Vincent coming in to break things up. But man, that was such a
it was
such a strong style All Japan like shit kick fest.
Yeah,
and
no.
This was like when Scott Steiner was about to make the switch to the Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Oh Christ!
And it was like when they were just wearing like the leather with the fucking studded weight belts on, and they were facing Harlem Heat, and it was just them beating the shit out of each other, and. You know, I can't really recall any specific moments of that match other than Scott Steiner doing a top rope Frankensteiner. But it was just like one of these instances. Like, it didn't matter what the finish was, but it was just these guys going all at it. No title was on the line, but they just laid out everything right there in the ring at the Great American Bash 97. Steiner Brothers Harlem Heat. Check that match out.
Well, how about this? That speaking of Harlem Heat and the Steiners... Another match to me that I remember gets an honorable mention. It's Clash of the Champions 30-something, 35, 33. I forgot the fucking number. It's in the 30s, though. Harlem Heat versus Steiners versus Luger and Sting.
That's the one where the NWO interfere, right?
Right. Hold on a second. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening.
Fill up in white light.
Ah. What's up, Black Hammer?
Black Powers for this month.
What's up, Black
Hammer? That's right. I wanted to call and say what's up to you guys real brief. And let my guy Mega Powers know. I think he's thinking of that match that was at Cyber Sunday when it was Booker, Cena, and Big Show. It was a triple threat.
No, I was thinking about the – it was champion versus champion at Night of Champions, the very first Night of Champions event.
So the one that was with Booker, those three, that was later on with Federline?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, I forgot about that dude. That dude was a herb.
You remember Federline and screwed Cena.
Yes, that dude's a herb. Oh, man. That dude's a herb.
I take it you guys forgot about the totally Kevin forgot. Federline.
Yeah.
But Tony, do you remember the Clash of the Champions match I'm talking about? Harlem Heat versus the Steiners versus Sting and Luger?
Yeah.
That was a good match.
Good times.
Is it me or did Harlem Heat set the tone from like 94 to like 96 so can we say like Harlem Heat was probably next to New Age Outlaws, the best team of the 90s? You had Doc and Gordy in Japan, obviously. You had Kobashi and Johnny Ace, or Kawada and Johnny Ace, one of them. I mean, there was a lot of good other tag teams, solid tag teams, but I'm talking about like...
them and those guys and the Steiners were definitely the standard bearers in WCW. I would say at least in WCW.
I'm talking about the 90s period, dude. I don't
the 90s period.
Like, I mean, the Steiners, the Road Warriors faded at that point. The Steiners were winning belts all over the place. But then the Steiners broke up and the Harlem Heat kind of like snuck in and took the mojo from them.
Yeah, the Steiners broke up in, what, 98? Super Brawl, they broke up.
Yeah.
Harlem Heat. They were kind of slowing down as well around that time because, 98?
I'm talking about like from 93 to like 96, right before you.
93 to 96. I think I can probably go with that.
I would put them up against any tag team from any mainstream Fed at that point.
In for that period?
Absolutely. Hands down. I thought they were that good sound of a team. Again, and Dave mentioned the whole strong stuff. It was just the dynamic of them. You know, you had Booker T, who was a big dude that could move. Stevie Ray was the powerhouse. It was a classic, run and shoot. You know, so
you know, I actually saw a Harlem Heat match from '93 because the team called Thunder and Lightning.
On what? on Worldwide or something like that?
Had to be on Worldwide or Pro.
It had to be, I think it was the main event.
Oh, the 6 o'clock show on Sunday?
Yeah, the mothership, yeah.
Yeah, and what was it? I think Lightning was NWO Sting, a.k.a. Cobra, a.k.a. a lot of other things. And they basically just beat the shit out of those dudes.
I got some shit for this, but I mentioned the other day that they would, and also they were the best African-American tag team. And then someone threw Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson at me.
And those dudes hated each other, and they weren't around for that long.
I understand that. But the dynamic of them winning the belts as an African-American team, setting the tone for all the other brothers that can do it. I mean, you talk about them and Thunderbolt Patterson doing it with Uncle Ole. You know, I think – but I'm saying, though, like –
he's Uncle Ole.
I mean, it's – I could tell you right now that I think – Harlem Heat. Well, hold on a second. Good evening, Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
It's Scott.
Scott, what are you, dude? But, where have you been, man? Where have you been?
I've been playing video games.
Really?
I was playing Dragon Age, and I would start playing at like 6 o'clock at night and lose track of time. I've been listening on the when you posted up though.
So wait, Scott, are there any African Americans in this video game?
Yes. Yes, they're all.
All right, good.
All right. Now, so Dave, I just looked it up. I'm sorry. Night of Champions did not begin until 2008. Booker T fought that match at Cyber Sunday, like Tony C said.
Okay.
He was in TNA in 2008 when Night of Champions started.
All right, so I'm wrong.
Yeah, because we're not these Wikipedia podcasts.
I knew the match
we're
talking about against the Big Show.
It's not old, so I'm not going to really remember that kind of stuff.
But thank you for the heads up, Scotty.
But Scott, am I right? That's the one with Federline getting involved, right?
Yeah, Booker T, they voted that his title would be on the line against Big Show and Cena. And Federline interfered so Booker T could beat Cena.
Now, what is this, Cyber Sunday?
Yes.
I got to watch that while I'm going to bed tonight. I'm bringing the laptop bedside.
But didn't Kevin Federline like pin somebody that was
he screwed Cena?
Yeah, but did he pin him?
I don't remember.
I know he pinned somebody.
Yeah,
that,
Booker
like,
pinned him. Yeah,
Booker T pinned him.
I know Federline. That's what it was. Federline was the special guest referee or something, and he counted Cena down.
K-Fed.
Now I got
he makes white people look terrible. I mean, white people are terrible anyway, but
listen, like he
No, he's the ultimate. He's the white Stedman.
Right.
That's what I call him.
The white Stedman. Well, that's true. Yeah, he was with Britney Spears. So yeah.
Knocked her up and now he's getting alimony.
I can't knock that hustle though. I got to be honest with you.
Oh no, you don't hate the player, you hate the game.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah.
Goddamn right.
So where is the Booker?
I got a question for you guys. Best Booker T singles match.
Him and Benoit, straight up. That's not even a thought.
Which one?
The finals.
Him beating Goldberg.
Oh, come on. That wasn't a good match.
I gotta agree with Phil.
It's just the fact they beat Goldberg.
Come on, dude. Those seven matches with Benoit. Come on, man.
Oh yeah.
Come on, man.
Oh yeah.
Dude, that was
I gotta revisit those because when that was going down, I was not I was still warming up to Booker T as a singles wrestler.
I fucking love Booker T, man. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
My kid was so excited.
He won the series.
Yeah, dude, guys, my kid was so excited. He brought me the figure to my room tonight. He's like, look, you got to look, like inspiration, he says to me. He brings the figure
to
my room.
His King Booker stuff when he would go from King Booker to, what you talk about, Teddy?
Dude, I bought the King of the Ring DVD. I bought the best.
You did not just say that.
I bought that DVD, the best of the King of the Ring, just because he hosted it with the gear on.
He's in Gimmick?
He does the entire thing in Gimmick. The entire DVD is in Gimmick.
Yeah.
Yep, it's fantastic.
It's on, I think it's still on Netflix.
I don't know, I own it.
I saw it on Netflix.
I bought that shit the day it came out. I was like, fuck that.
About a month ago, I found myself watching that grocery store.
With Austin? Yeah, come on, Stone man. Come on, man.
With Stone Cold beats is not in the supermarket.
His stuff with
check
the...
on the check, ass.
His stuff with The Rock was fantastic. So, again, it's just the trend-setting brothers. That's it.
There was, I saw a match with him against Sting.
Sting.
In the semifinals or...
Sting.
For the U.S. Championship on Spring Stampede 2000, and that match was fantastic.
Yo, Harry just sent me a link for the Series 2 WCW Harlem Heat Tag Team figures. But they're like the big Galoob ones, you know, the rubber ones, like the LJNs.
Yeah.
Actually, I sold my WCW LJN figures recently.
I have Vader.
I had Vader, I had Taskmaster, Hogan, Flair, Johnny B. Bad.
Scott's going to get a kick out of this. Scott, you know where I bought the Vader?
Caldor's?
It's close. Walgreens on Queens Boulevard.
Nice.
8507 Queens
it's
Boulevard.
Like $5 more than any other
not too far from McDowell's. I was in Forest Hills. No joke, I left this girl's house in Flushing. I was on a bus. I grabbed the 40-ounce. I was changing buses on Queens Boulevard, and I was done with my 40, and I was feeling a little bit like my mouth was a little dry after that 40-do, so I freaking went into the 24-hour Walgreens, got myself a pack of gum, and there he was, sitting in the toy aisle. I was like, wait a minute. And he was the only wrestling figure in the toy aisle, and I said to this lady behind the counter, I'm like, how do you not sell this? She's like, And I was, like, half drunk. I wasn't, like, you know, she was, are you drinking, sir? I'm like, yeah, she's one of those, like, uppity old Jewish broads. Are you drinking, sir? I'm like, yeah, I'm drinking. And people should be buying this shit. I'm buying it. It was best fucking $8 I spent that year.
Oh, God.
Kidding me, man? Stop playing. The Mastodon. Fucking Vader. In Walgreens. 3 o'clock in the morning. Holler at your boy.
Yeah. Oh, the stuff. Isn't it funny how you remember when you buy all your figures?
Because it's just those figures weren't that good looking. Like the Flair one was terrible. He looked terrible. The Sting one looked awful. The Sting one looked terrible. He had the frosted hair and the shitty face paint. I'm like, this is not Sting.
The freaking likenesses have always been terrible.
Yeah, don't get me started.
I remember looking at some of the old WWF, I was like, is that Kurt Angle or The Rock?
Choppy gave me that pipe. I'm so happy Choppy gave me that pipe, man. Me and the wife are going to clean him up and touch him up. Make him nice.
Oh, you got that Maven figure, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Phil, did you mark out when Public Enemy beat Harlem Heat for the tag team title?
I didn't mark out. I was happy for them, though, and I'll tell you why. I liked Public Enemy. I adored them in ECW. I thought they were terrible in WCW, but when they gave them the straps... When they gave him dude, they were just hokey at this point. La-di-da-di-da-di.
Nah.
Come on, man. Almost everybody that defected from ECW into either WWF or WCW, the veil was, you know, pulled over, and we got to see these guys for who they really were. You didn't have Paulie or somebody else protect your image.
You're right. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying, like, I didn't – like, Raven was terrible. All those WCW guys were terrible, most of them anyway. Perry Saturn did all right in WCW. But,
yeah.
And Eddie Guerrero did fantastic, by the way, of course. But, I mean, a lot of Public Enemy,
they had the belts for how long? Like a week or two?
Yeah, like a week or two on – Didn't they have the feud?
Still had him.
He hit him in the groin with a tottered seat. But
they had him longer than the New Day would ever have him. Damn it,
New Day. I got to get past this music ready for next week. I'm all excited. I'm actually off next week.
Amen theme. Well, wait, what was that one song that you were playing during the ranties for him?
For him?
Yeah.
Oh, Double A was playing that.
Yeah. Kirk Franklin or Ty Tribbett?
I'm just amazed that Megapiles knows about Ty Tribbett. My wife, you know, she's a big gospel person.
Actually, I worked with a guy who was going to be he had connections with Ty Tribbett. He was going to be working with him. And he actually came to me and said, Mega Powers, I need you to help me write an email to Ty Tribbett's people because I want to start working with this dude because every time he has a new album, it's number one on the gospel, you know, Billboard charts. He knows that I'm a writer. So I told him, like, yeah, I'll do this for you. And it took me like about a half hour. I wrote the email for him. And he sent it out to Ty Tribbett's manager, heard back from him like within less than a half hour, told me he went to his car and started crying because like the guy like loved the fucking letter that I wrote for him to do this. But here's the catch. The guy realized like, oh, you know, now I have to hire a lawyer and I don't have money for this and that. So he didn't follow through with it. So that didn't pan out. But regardless, I helped write this dude a letter that was going to get him, you know, future work with Ty Tribbett.
Isn't Ruben Studdard doing gospel now?
I think he is. He fell off the R&B circuit. So
hey man, that's the next place to get a number one hit.
Speaking of R&B, if my mom would have heard Tony C's tirade about Christopher Williams and Albie Shaw last night, I'm telling you right now, man, you and my mom would have some serious heat. My mom loved that dude. Loved those dudes.
She loved all those lights, all those beige cats.
My mother would. I told you, my mom had a hook at the local record shop, and the man would hook her up 2 weeks before the record to come out. She had Albie Shaw and Keith Sweat and fucking
Keith
all the
Sweat.
Yep, all the new Jack Swing records like Christopher Williams and Rex in Effect. My mom was hip to that shit, man.
All those
beige light skinned guys, they'll be on security and parking detail at the Black Achievement Award.
Mom's coming on the podcast.
Hey, we're gonna have Jaheim playing for the Black Achievement Awards.
No, we gotta get Cisco. We gotta get Cisco.
Jaheim, he's a little bit too big for the Black Achievement Awards, but what? Ruben Studdard, he's gonna be in the bean pie eating contest.
Wow.
Crackerjack Funk was coming back for the Blackie Award.
Let me tell you something, fellas. Crackerjack Funk, I opened for Crackerjack Funk. Those dudes came correct. Matter of fact, Scott and I are still friends with some of those guys. Well, actually, the band is permanently on hiatus because we lost one of our members.
Oh, my God.
Rest in
peace.
We're going to have
El DeBarge, Chico DeBarge.
And Chico DeBarge reunion.
We're going to have Tito Jackson.
Dude, I want Earth, Wind, and Fire to open something, man.
So we're going to have Ebony Experience.
Ebony Experience.
And Randy Watson.
Randy Watson.
Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah, man.
Sexual Chocolate will be in the house.
We're gonna have Shabba Ranks.
No, we don't want no fucking Ross Klotz and now fucking at the Black Achiever Awards. No, we don't want.
I'm mad. Phil said his mom.
Dude,
man, those light skinned guys, man. You know they had the X curls that couldn't get.
Tony,
you know,
my mom.
Curl.
My mom was all about it, dude. My mom would stay up and watch Midnight Love, dude. She was
just
all,
for Christopher Williams.
Just for Christopher Williams. Every little thing you do. Do you Rescue Me and Get Off on Your Own Girl, and my mom still talks about, like, why don't you make me a tape? Mom, we don't make tapes no more, Mom. We make CDs. Why don't you make me a tape? So, Mom's coming on the podcast. She's got a Greg Valentine story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, the hammer.
Oh, dude. I've told the story, but my mom tells it so good. So, next time I go see her, I got a microphone for Christmas that hooks up to the laptop. I'm going to bring it to her house and let her do it. I'm going to put her on the podcast because mom's going to break it down. It's crazy shit. Uh-oh. But she loved all that R&B shit, man. Like the LaVert and fucking all that stuff, man. All of it.
His dad or him, Gerald or Eddie.
All of them. Dude, my mom's going to be 60, God bless her, next month, right? And she was always hip to modern shit. Didn't like hip hop a lot. Like, only when the guys did ballads. Like, when Slick Rick and LL did the ballads, she dug that, you know? When New Edition, when Bobby Brown and Johnny Gill broke up, she was all about that. You know what I'm saying?
Johnny Gill replaced Bobby Brown.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When they did their own shit, though, she was all about my, and you know, and let's be honest, nobody could touch that first album with Bobby Brown. That was a great album. Don't Be Cruel.
Well, My Prerogative,
Roni.
Tenderoni.
Yeah, Roni. Yeah, it's a great album, man.
Tenderoni.
Bobby's the first.
Don't forget Bobby Brown did the Ghostbusters 2 theme song.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
On our own.
Hey, can I get one of those packs for my little brother?
Nah, my brother, you got to get your own.
No, he said Proton Packs is not a toy. And Phil, you're talking about that album from House Party.
Yeah.
Man, can you let me borrow that? Nah, brother. You got to get your own.
Kato
Records. Are we going to have Ric Flair's favorite black artist performing at the Black Achiever Awards?
I know you're gonna tell us, but we may give away a few Woo tickets under the seats.
but do you know who I'm talking about?
Who's that, Megapower?
Jeffrey Osborne. The Woo 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 song.
Woo, can you woo woo woo?
Is he still alive?
I forgot about
Tony. Tony, you don't remember those. You don't remember those commercials? KTEL Records probably presents Midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Love. And the two dudes are sitting in the living room with their girlfriends.
Hey love.
And the dude's like, "Yo, man, this album is solid, man. Yo, man, can I borrow that?" "No, my brother. You got to get your own." KTEL Records proudly present Midnight Love.
The Shy Lights.
Hell yeah. The Stylistics.
Stylistics.
The Delphonics.
Delphonics.
Hell yeah. Midnight Love. That's the name of this episode tonight. Midnight Love.
Gonna have Steve Harvey.
The Ebony Experience.
Steve Hightower and the Hot Tops.
Goddamn right.
Oh my god, the Hot Tops.
Get a play.
Black Achiever Awards, kids. Singing. February 19th, Phil's wedding anniversary.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Oh. Well, I'm going to be working, so I'm not celebrating until Saturday. But I'm definitely calling in when I get to work.
Man, it's we don't be, have that. It's going to
rival the Ranties.
Two Suburbans in the hearse, kids. We're killing them out there.
Clarence Mason III going to make an appearance.
Don't you mean Jay Biggs?
I'm in talks with Black Nito making an appearance.
I do ask on the bus.
I wonder if Vince still has the gear in the fucking storage.
I'm sure he does.
But
listen, they have like every single Undertaker casket. I'm sure they have that.
I'm sorry. If I was Ron Simmons, I'd slap the shit out of somebody making me try to put that back on again. Sorry. I'm just putting that out there.
They showed up with Sonny, so that was a good start.
I'll put the gear on her. Calling a skank Nito.
Well, we all
Ahmed's going to be there. You think he has that limo that Ahmed did the Pearl River Plunge on?
Ooh.
They still have
I need to ask you guys, what did you actually think of Harlem Heat 2000?
I liked it.
Hey, you go to hell. You go to hell. Okay.
Go to hell.
Dude, their first run was with Canyon and Bigelow. That was a great matches. No?
I'll say this.
My man Johnson should have been nowhere near Harlem Heat.
No, Wait a second. That guy was not that bad in Harlem Heat. The dude, like, granted, he looked like shit. He looked like he put on, like, he already looked like he was overweight when he was in WWE.
Listen, he was a sloppy fuck. He just wasn't as sloppy as he was in the E, though.
But I'll say this. When he hit Booker T, or Booker, with the Pearl River Plunge, a.k.a. Tiger Suplex, Tiger Bomb, rather, he got some height on him. He, like, threw his ass up there like he was, like, Mike Hagar from Final Fight.
He got some elevation.
Yeah, not only that, but what was it? I was watching, it was Uncensored 2000. It was Booker and Kidman against Harlem Heat 2000. There was a point where Stevie Ray's holding either Booker or Kidman, and Big T goes out into the crowd over the guardrail. I'm like, where the fuck is this dude going? And the guy charges and jumps over the guardrail. Granted, the guy's like 400 pounds. jumps over the guardrail and shoulder checks the dude. I'm like, whoa, what the, where the hell did that come from? And Harlem Heat 2000 was not that bad of an idea, and it actually segued into Booker into, you know, having some excellent singles matches.
Next to Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes, Booker T is my favorite TV champion. Just putting that out there. Better than the Great Muta, better than Sting. Hold on a second.
Stevie Ray should have stayed in the NWO.
Good evening, Turnbuckle Throwback.
That reminds me, Tony C, I got a question for you.
Hold on one second. Hold on, we're getting a call here. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Detroit, you know, the original Double J. Ha ha.
All right, hold on one second. Guy, what's your point, Dave?
Tony C, Pedigree or the Flapjack?
You know damn well I'm going with the King of Kings Pedigree then. That slapjack. You know, Stevie Ray hit rock bottom when he was getting left at the airport by Vincent. And he was convincing the Wolfpack to leave Stevie Ray at the airport.
Double J, what's going on? Double J, you on?
Oh, hey, sorry, Phil.
What's up, man?
I couldn't hear you for a minute there. Hey, look, I'm listening on the show here, and, you know, guys, I just about had a mangasm when I heard you guys talk about Harlem Heat, because out of modern wrestling, this I can talk about. Now, I caught them when they first came into the GWF, and they did their thing, and they struck me as one of the only, and this includes singles wrestlers, as one of the few that had that certain it factor you guys were talking about earlier, you know, the crazy French would call it the je ne sais quoi, but very few people had this thing. I would include people like Flair, The Rock, Austin, kind of, sort of, not really. He was more manufactured in my opinion. But anyway, I knew the minute I saw them, you know, in their first match, okay, maybe their second match, to be honest, that they had that stuff that next to nobody else had. That they had that magic. They had it together. Okay. Now I think Booker was pretty much the one that was the glue of the group, quite frankly. I mean, that's pretty obvious if you look at, you know, hindsight being 2020. But I would say, and maybe I'm just cracked between the ears, but I think they were probably, as a tandem, the only tag team, really, purely if you think about it, that A, had any real true success in the big leagues, but also had the it thing that you guys were talking about earlier. I mean, you can talk about Public Enemy, you can talk about the Gangstas, you know, the Steiners, yeah, they still struck me as two singles wrestlers put together. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you guys think I'm correct in thinking that they're they're part of that very rare group that has an it factor? And I'll even include Triple H in that, in his true competition base. But I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, am I full of crap, or what do you think?
In pure tag team form, there were guys that were thrown together, like the Outlaws, like some of the NWO guys that clicked, like, you know, like Bagwell and Norton clicked, you know, stuff like that. They had, and we spoke about it. They have the it factor. They were big. They were agile. They could move, and they complemented each other well. Obviously, because they were related, that helps too. If you're friends with the guy you're working with, or if you're related to the guy you're working with, that's why the Hearts were so good. That's why, you know, like, the Von Erichs was so good. I think that sibling element too, just, I guess, gave them an extra, I guess, an advantage in some aspects, if you want to go that route. Nobody foreseen Booker T being as big as he got when he was in Global, but you saw something, like you said. So I think taking away from, it was a good time to be a tag team, and even when it wasn't a good time to be a tag team, they had that 3-year stretch that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that they were the best team on the planet at that point. So,
yeah,
you know, and exactly, and just for the record, I can't remember the specific match, but I remember it kind of impressing me a wee bit. They had this match, and I can't remember the name of the match, But it was the one where they had the cages all stacked up upon each other, like gift boxes that you see sometimes at weddings or whatever. That included, I think it was him, Jeff Jarrett, the Double J wannabe. I think he came out on top in that match, but I mean, I remember it being a very nasty, grueling match. And the end result, you know, on the next, what was it, Nitro or whatever it was. Yeah, Nitro. That they undercut it a wee bit because I think that maybe the management and the announcers really didn't care for Booker, you know, taking the match. But, I mean, I am hard-pressed to find a favorite match of his up until he came to the WWE. I think when he came to the WWE is when he was a little castrated.
Yeah, well, I think him and Benoit put on a clinic when they had that best of seven.
Apparently,
definitely. I mean, it's like you have two fantastic athletes. I mean, that was a meeting of wrestling perfection, in my opinion.
Yep.
Granted, there were two different styles of wrestling, but those two just meshed like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
Phil,
anyway,
I'm surprised you didn't. Go ahead, JJ.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I was just saying. I'm surprised Phil didn't play Booker T's famous Hulk Hogan promo, but
I did.
We probably
played it like
saved
three times
it.
Already.
Played it three times.
Dude. Oh, you
yeah.
did?
Yeah, played seven times already.
That promo never gets old.
Dude, are you kidding me, man? Like, I want to make it a ringtone. you kidding me, right?
Now, the one thing I'm going to say is this, is that I'm going to get off the phone after I say this because I don't want to hold up the show too much. You know, going back to the whole thing of, you know, Hulk Hogan and get you bleep. I'm not going to say it because I ain't got the, you know, whatever to say it. But
the Hulk Hogan nigga.
Wait a minute. No, you don't have
Thank
to say
you.
It. Double J, you don't have to say
huh?
it. Hold on.
And after we take Lex Luger in the jab, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. You know, and if you notice, most of the backlash for that, it happens like in, you know, the later years, like
right,
up till
yeah,
now.
Because it
and
was,
it's,
it
and
was
it's more humorous than anything else because it's like it didn't really stick to him.
No,
I
even
mean,
even Hogan,
it,
even Hogan
did backstage,
knew.
And maybe someone had a few words with him, like, dude, shut up.
Nah,
but
Hogan even thought it was like. It was like accidental. He knew. He thought it was funny. You know?
I thought it was awesome.
Of course you would,
Scott. Here's the thing, too, is that, like, me personally, most of my close, you know, inner circle is not Caucasian, amazingly enough. It
is
black.
Join the club, dude.
Most of the people I've ever worked with are black.
Join the club.
Okay? Anytime they refer to another person... Now, keep in mind, we got, you know, most of them are, you know, either inner city, you know, in the ghetto, in the hood, whatever, or they're country or they're country mountain black. So it's like most of the time when they refer to somebody, they're using that word.
Someone
so
just
to me, it's like
someone
yeah.
just used it on me. Someone just used it on me 48 hours ago, and he's black. When I mean black, he's. He's the he's
he
like
he can put fingerprints on charcoal.
Now, now, are you saying if you turn off the lights, you'll never see him unless he opens his eyes?
We won't. And after we take Lex Luger in the jab, we want the gold, sucker, Hulk Hogan. We coming for you, nigga.
That's what I'm talking about. I go back home when I go visit home. I'm the N-word. Up and down my sister's block in the bodega.
You know
what's that?
Me and Mega Powers, if you kind of remember, I think it was around this time last year, maybe. Yeah. We started our ribbing.
Yep.
And people just found it. Like, it was flab. It was just dumbfounding.
Because a lot of people
couldn't
don't
handle
get
it.
A lot of people don't get it. That's the bottom line, but. I'm sorry, and Double J.
They watched wrestling, but they couldn't get it.
Let Double J finish his thoughts so you can start wrapping this bitch up. I'm exhausted.
All right, guys, have a good night. Thanks for the show, and I really appreciate you guys finally covering Harlem Heat. Took you long enough.
Yeah, man. Well, there's so many brothers we can cover, you know what I'm saying? We only get 28
yeah.
days a year, homie, all right?
We got
right, take care, guys.
Still next week.
Bye.
Good night, Double J. Oh,
who
man.
Discovered America? Thomas Jefferson,
and after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
We take
it. Four plus four. What's 4 plus 4, Booker? 3, sucker.
Tell me he just didn't say that.
You know, one pay-per-view.
Oh,
my
wait
brother.
A second, Phil. I need to send you something. Never mind.
Hold on a second. Scott, what was that?
Well, me and my brother counted what Booker T saying, wait a minute, when he was hosting, when he was doing a pay-per-view. He said it like 31 times. Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We were just counting how many times he'd say for the hell of it.
As bad as Booker T is on commentary, dude, I can't be mad at him.
Hey, you remember...
Phil,
when
came
out
when him and Kevin Nash were on commentary at for TNA, Chet Lippin and Black Snow.
I'm just gonna say that, Tony C. When he came out as Black Snow, I was pissing Black myself. Snow.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil, I just sent you a message with a link. I need you to play.
Now I have to log in. Hold on.
No, it's on Skype.
That's one of the best TNA episodes of all time when they had him and Nash on commentary with Scott Steiner as the ring announcer. Oh,
that
man.
Is shit.
I sent the link on Skype.
All right, I know, but you sent it on Skype, and Skype's on the same program that I can't. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can.
Price check on a jackass.
Hold on a second. One second. Yeah, go ahead, carry
on. We're gonna go to aisle 6. We're gonna get some frozen pizzas. We're gonna get some frozen food. He was beating the hell out of Booker T.
That's
yeah.
Hold on a second. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. You guys still there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is gonna be worth it.
All right. Hold on a second.
If he can play it. And it's coming.
Hold on a minute.
Right about.
Dramatic pause.
Dave, send me the message again. Resend it.
Okay. On Skype?
Yeah, on Skype. Because now I have it. Oh, it's not. There it is. Awesome. Okay. There we go. All right, here we go.
Forgot about this. How could I forget about it until now?
What's up, boss? How you doing?
Yeah. What's good in the hood?
Just holding it down, trying to take care of business.
Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
You know what, Dave? I had a feeling. That's...
You see Shawn Bell's face? Shawn Bell's face is the best. Ah, she gets nothing.
Tell me, he didn't just say that.
Only mega powers.
Hey man, just keep it a good in the hood.
Good, yeah. He sound like Jackie Chan in Rush Hour when he said,
"Dude,
well, you know,
honestly, I'm gonna crop a shot of Charmel. Like she looks at him and then she does like that neck, that you know, like the whole neck thing, like."
Black girl neck.
Yeah, black girl neck. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Call it the sister neck. Yeah, that's what we'll call it, Tony. We'll call it the sister neck. Dude, she had straight up sister neck. And
but you know, Tony C, I actually bodyguarded Jackie Chan for a brief moment.
Yeah, Dave in his skinny jeans, fucking defender of the free world.
I was asked to walk into it. I was asked to walk him to his car. So I can say for one moment, for a very brief time, I was Jackie Chan's bodyguard in real life.
Fucking Joe Bell.
He said that line in Rush Hour, like, he sounded just like Vince.
Okay, tell me, see.
Oh, my nigga.
There you go.
My nigga.
Hold on. Oh. 110th.
Dear.
No. Price check. On the jackass. Man, you ever think about that whole thing? Like, who would just sit there and watch this go on in the grocery store and just be like, oh.
That's an everyday occurrence where I used to live. Motherfuckers used to brawl in the supermarkets. Kid, I told you the story about the kid getting beat up with a cereal box from his mom because he kept begging for food.
Oh, my God.
Told you about the mom broke fool on the kid in the middle of aisle six and split a box of cereal over the kid's head. Shout out to the pool of Cheerios. Shout out to the A&P, by the way.
Shout out to A&P.
That's right, son.
Not C-Town or... Aldo's or
Aldo's,
Aldi,
Aldi's, Aldo's, whatever it's called. My wife's favorite store.
Tony goes to Publix, right, Tony?
I'm a Publix guy through and through. Publix and Wally World and Sam's Club.
Dude, Wally World's a fine joints. Establishment.
You know, what was it? A few weeks ago, I was wearing a Piggly Wiggly shirt that says,
God.
On the back of it, it says, what happens at the pig stays at the pig.
Piggly Wiggly, gotta love it.
Get my knuckles there. Get my hog moss there.
I thought that was more of like a white southern place.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You get down with that shit in the Piggly, son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You get the hog jowls there, too?
Fuck yeah, you could.
We're going to be serving hog moss and ham hocks at the Black Achiever Awards.
Collard greens.
Scott, you're down.
Collard greens.
Scott, you're down.
Chef Sylvia's soul food in the can?
No.
Free high blood pressure checks.
Scott,
eat anything. I don't care.
Scott, you get some good food down there where you at, right?
Kind of, sort of. We got one Italian guy that makes some pizza. He's come from Hempstead, Long Island, so that's about it.
Really, the pig's ass, you're fried, right?
I'm isolating that. You can eat a pig's ass if you fry it right.
Down here, fucking eat squirrel.
I can't get down with the rodent, man. I can't get down with that roadkill shit, man.
I had a friend of mine who had squirrel. He said it was no. It wasn't squirrel. He had possum. He said it was greasy as shit.
Fuck out of here, man. There's no nutritional
value.
They eat
that down here. Possum.
Yeah, they do.
Gator, turtle.
I had gator jerky.
I would eat gator.
Yeah, turtle soup. You never had turtle soup? It's gross.
No, I just heard about it from like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when Shredder would make some sort of comment towards them.
No, turtle soup.
But I never had turtle soup.
I had deer for the first time when I was up north, and I was like, what?
Yeah, deer's weird. Like, my grandfather used to hunt for deer back in the day, right? And he had
a turtle hunter?
No. And he had this dude. One of his best friends was like Eastern European. I don't know if he was like Slovakian or Romanian, I don't know, but he was a butcher. So when they would shoot these deer, they would strap it to the hoods of their cars and drive it back to the city and go in my man's butcher shop and TCB it, you know what I'm saying? And then like what they would do is my grandmother would have like, you know, deer cutlets and like deer like stew meat. Like it wasn't like just Right, and they would soak it in milk, Mr. X, you're right. If it's done right, it's very gamey, man. It's a preferred taste. I can tell you that shit.
Yeah, it's a quiet taste.
Yeah, man.
Scott posted
your burger, your steak, your jerky, all good.
Yeah, all good. Rabbit stew. I'm not down with rabbit stew, man. I had it.
No, I'm not eating no Glenn Close stew. No.
Yeah, I can't get
Glenn. Fuck that Hossen Pfeffer.
Hossen Pfeffer. Yeah. I don't do rabbit, man. I tried.
I can't get behind eating Thumper and Bambi.
I can't.
No.
Yeah, no, I can't.
It's
I tried.
Not cool.
What about Dancer and Nixon?
Prancer.
I gotta tell you though, reindeer would probably taste good because they're very active. Those fuckers.
They got some nice legs.
Yeah, you could probably get some nice fucking
down at the Piggly Wiggly.
At the Piggly Wiggly, with some
down
hot.
At the Piggly Wiggly.
No Piggly Wiggly down here.
Scott posted up the Stone Cold versus Booker T at the Piggly Wiggly death match.
They were at Lucky's, I think, that grocery store is called Lucky's.
All right. I'm going to start wrapping this bitch up. I had a long day. Don't forget, guys, coming up this...
Matt says, I heard horse is good for you.
No, horse is not good for you. This Saturday evening, the Wrestling Call-In Show, Mr. Will I Am Morgan. This Sunday, the Surfer is back with Jordan. Sorry, Surfer. You lost. what are you reading? Comic book show, 5 p.m. NXT TakeOver next week with myself and the crew. Black Achiever Awards, February 19th, 9 p.m. Be there or be square.
Did you see they added a new match for the NXT?
No.
Corbin versus Dempsey, no DQ.
I like that Dempsey kid, man. He's a Brooklyn boy.
That should be a good match. They need to let them beat the shit out of each other more, though, than just like 5 minutes and that's it.
Yeah, their matches have been very short. Yeah. Maybe this will be a bit more entertaining.
Right.
But that's been the whole point because Corbin Burnson, wasn't that the guy from Major League and the dentist?
Barry Corbin.
They got Aaron Neville.
Corbin Burnson.
So
LA Law.
Corbin Burnson has been beating this guy left to right like under 5 minutes, pissing Bull Dempsey off. So I don't want to give too much away from tonight's NXT, but he did interfere in the Pac match for the tournament for the number one contender. So that'll lead into their match at TakeOver.
Don't give me that Ole shit, Dorn. Get down the ball.
he had a great performance in The Dentist.
You may run like Hayes, but you hit like shit.
Basically, that's the best sports movie ever.
Absolutely.
Major League.
And you know what came from Major League 2, right?
Marbles. You have no marbles.
Nope.
Not just that. Something else that came from Major League 2.
Black Hammer, White Lightning.
Of course. Do you have that queued up?
No, I don't, but I can get it for you.
You should.
Mine are the deadest. Mine fell the hardest.
Hold on a minute.
Mine are the deadest.
Mine fell the hardest.
Mine are the
what was
deadest.
It? Like the Tarzan yell.
Yep. Amazing.
Yeah, I haven't watched that clip in a while. I know
it was just on Saturday on the MLB Network. Hold on, here you go.
Here it is, man. Watch this.
Willie Mays Hayes is Black Hammer. Jesse the Bobby Ventura is White Lightning. Together, they're taking on the mob.
Mine fell the hardest.
Mine of the deadest.
These guys play for keeps. Black Hammer, White Lightning, coming to a theater near you.
You know, Piper was on Ventura's podcast not too long ago, and they both agreed that tag team would have been a hit if it had a chance.
White Lightning, Black Hammer, coming to a podcast near you.
I'm telling you.
Somebody needs to pick us up.
Why don't you just tell AA you're going to do like a one shot? Like, do it like once a month. You and Dave should do it once a month. You both
have to figure out how to do this.
You got to do is you guys are both on Skype. So record, get a Skype recorder and record yourselves. And then you fucking give it to me or give it to AA and we'll upload it for you. We'll put music to it. We'll give you an intro. And then we'll fucking. It'll be radio gold.
Public.
You two knuckleheads.
The public is demanding us. They're chanting our name.
You two knuckleheads for an hour? That's entertainment. I'm sorry.
Black Hammer, White Lightning, have my baby.
I'm gonna pull a AA and go around the room. Scott, any final thoughts?
Nah, man. I love Harlem Heat. Booker T has always been one of my favorites. I'm going to go Jim Rome here, War Bobo Brazil for the next Black History Month, and War Kalisto rocking the rainbow mask. Funny, man.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I'm out.
Good night, Scotty.
I got a question. How many people want I'm not even going to say anything. I'm going to see if I can coerce Phil into this idea of mine. You'll be surprised.
Tony C, anything before I let you go, brother?
I just want to say I appreciate you guys having me on. And none of these teams or people that you guys go over in Black History Month have anything on Black Hammer and White Lightning. Period.
Not. Never.
Fucking too
best of all time.
Because
I just want to say that. Much love, you guys. Yes, and mine are the deadest.
Oh. Tony C, thank you for hanging out with us tonight, man.
Appreciate you guys having me on. I'll talk to you guys later, man.
All right, man. Be safe. We'll see you
later, fellas.
Tony C, you still there?
Yeah.
You know, I want to thank Tony C for being my partner, for sharing his ranty with me. And
yeah.
More importantly, I want to thank him for being black during Black History Month.
But he's black all year round, dude.
Well, especially during Black History Month.
All right. Shout out to Tony C. Thank you, everybody, for calling in tonight. Java, Scotty. Let me play Scott's fan one more time.
Scott!
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Matt, for all the fucking cool sounds you hooked us up with. And thank everybody for hanging out with us tonight. You want to take this train in?
Scott just said Tony and Dave should do a British history throwback.
Yeah, you guys should do fucking World of
that
Sport.
That might have to be the first episode.
World of Sport. You're going to piss off a bunch of fucking fans, I can tell you that. I can tell you now, Felonious, Boz, Harry, Stell, they're all going to call and protest, man.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, dude. Look, Harry's already fucking protesting. He's like, no way. Can't do it.
Hey, man, we're just going to, if they have anything to say, they can, you know, talk to our bodyguard, HBK.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Next week again, start time, 10 p.m., join us at 7 p.m. for the NXT live show, live pre-show. And then we'll be on with a post-show. And our throwback next week is Bubba Brazil, the first black U.S. heavyweight champion.
He's actually one of the first black guys to actually claim to be a black world heavyweight champion.
Yep. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Rant EM Radio. Shining Wizards Network, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. I promise I'll update it this weekend. We're about six episodes missing. I'm sorry, guys. I've been fucking crazy busy. Support all the shows. All the shows that we're connected to that we love are on that. New podcast for Will Sweeney, That Awful Podcast, MoreLikeRadio.com. Check it out. Every Monday on More Like Radio and possibly coming to another network near you. Hint, hint. Other than that, I think that's it for me. Dave, anything before we go, Black Powers?
Fight the power, but not the Black Powers.
Guys, have a great rest of your week. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Be kind to animals. Kiss your mom. Enrage. Take out the goddamn garbage, all right? Good night, guys.